You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning. Hi, Renewed. I'm James. Some people call me Campus Dad, other the weird uncle on campus, or that guy that just kind of randomly talked to people. So good to meet you. Would love to say hi after. That was not awkward at all, was it, guys? Everyone here down there like, yeah, that's James. He's pretty much awkward. Salvation Army Choir, thank you so much for sharing this morning. And one of the things that I wanted to say was, And Can It Be was actually my class hymn. So I really badly wanted to stand up for the first stanza before anyone else. But there are a lot of great people here that I know and love deeply. And some people have even driven in. And this place is home for me. You guys are family. And I am just grateful to be here. Would you pray for me? Pray with me? Well, you can pray for me too. Yeah, probably. So, King Jesus, we declare that you are Lord. We declare that this space is your space. These hearts are your hearts. And Jesus, whatever we bring to this room, you see us, you accept us, and you love us. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that I would get out of the way, and King Jesus, you would be lifted up. And so, Lord, we give you all thanks in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I remember going to Ecuador for my internship in seminary. And I was spending 3 weeks in a place called Cuenca, visiting a seminary. Yeah, let's go! Yo, yo, yo! Cuenca is a beautiful space and beautiful people, am I right? Yes, sir. Now, here's the thing. You're like traveling through the mountains like 10,000 feet up in the air. It's high, all right? And so this road is not in Ecuador. I couldn't find the road. This is actually in Bolivia. So my Bolivian friends, this is Death Road. Yep, yep. So I want you to picture something like this, okay? This is the idea. There's no guardrails. Now, the road in Ecuador was probably a little bit wider than this road, but not by much. There were some places where it went from two lanes to like a lane and a half, and then you had like these huge buses coming the opposite direction. And here we are, we're in this Land Cruiser, and we are driving on the edge, right? Because you drive on the right in Ecuador, not on the left. We're not in Britain, folks, all right? So we're on the right. So our Land Cruiser is hugging the edge. And there are big trucks coming. And I remember Jorge Mirgovejo was telling stories, and he was like, oh, yeah. Just last month, the bus went over and all 60 people died. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? So I literally, I'm not a liturgical man, okay? Like, I'm very non-denominational in my, but I was praying the Lord's Prayer like my life depended on it. Maybe even through a couple Hail Marys. I'm not even Catholic, but I was like literally just like, our Father in heaven, who art in heaven, our Father. And then he'd go, oh, and another, yeah. Someone else died over here. I'm like, bro, like these huge buses are coming our way. And I remember on that drive, I looked into the distance and there are people farming the slopes of Ecuador at 10,000 feet. They must have calves of steel. And I remember that I would pray these prayers. I would just look at these people farming, literally on the slopes. And wouldn't keep my eyes on the buses, wouldn't think about the ravine hanging over, because it was fine to look in the distance, right? But to look down, you say, whoa, that's a drop. But I would keep my eyes focused and just pray, literally, for like several hours getting there. And I don't know about you, but there's something to be said about where our eyes go. So I'm going to set the scene for you, all right? Jesus just fed 5,000 people, all right? Prior to that, he's healed people, he's taught with authority, gave the Sermon on the Mount. We're at a place where he has sent the disciples on after feeding the 5,000 people. They're on a boat. He's gone up into the hills to pray. That's the scene. Jesus is alone. That's another sermon in itself about taking time to be alone and pray, and that's a different time. We'll go different. That may be tonight. You never know. All right, so Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell when he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, sounds like some of you studying for that test tomorrow. At 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" So disciples were in trouble, right? Strong winds, waves. Like, it's scary. There is, if you've never been in a boat where, and it's the waves are choppy and you're not used to being on a boat, or it's dark, it's in the middle of the night, and they are like in this place, in a boat, winds, rain, and they are terrified. And now, some of them are experienced fishermen too, so it must have been really bad. Like, if you're on a boat and the captain of the boat's like, "Oh no, we're in trouble," I think at that point in time, it might be okay to piddle and be a little afraid. That might be okay. There might be that might actually be okay. So that it's feeling a little dire. And as they're sitting in the boat, Jesus comes walking on the water over them. I believe he sees them before they see him. That's an important point. We'll come back to it. But they start to freak out. I don't know about you. Have you ever seen something in the night where you're like, "Oh, there's something, I can't tell what it is," and you kind of freak out? Maybe you're a kid, you thought there was a monster in your closet. I don't know. I've been in those moments where you're like in the middle of the night, you think, "Oh my goodness, what is that sound?" And you think, "There's someone trying to kill me." I don't know if that's accurate, but you go and you find out it's actually your dog knocking over a plant or something like that. But here they are, you're in the middle of the boat, you're afraid, and they cry out, "It's a ghost." It's amazing in places where fear starts to set in, where anxiety starts to set in, where we start to be irrational, and we start to see things that might not actually be there, or maybe not what it may seem. It's amazing. I don't know if you've ever had those moments where you freak out about something that you're worried about, anxious about, and it turns out not to be as bad as you thought it was going to be. Anybody ever had that, or is it just me? Fear and anxiety have a way to wreak havoc in our lives. But Jesus comes up and says, let me go back. Jesus comes up and says, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Do you know that the Bible has over 145 references to "do not be afraid"? Did you know that? Like, that must be pretty important, because I think our We're predisposed to be afraid, to have anxiety, to worry. The Bible says 145 times, don't be afraid. One of my favorites, you've heard me, if you've been around, you've heard me, Isaiah 43, do not be afraid, for I've redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So Jesus comes up. They cry out, it's a goat, and they're fear, and he says, don't be afraid, I am here. We just sang a song, I Speak Jesus, and that his presence brings peace. That his name, just the mere presence of Jesus, can set things at ease. Do not be afraid, take courage, I am here. I love Peter so much. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. First of all, bold prayer, bold statement. Has anyone ever prayed something like that? Hey, God, if it's you, if it's really you, because I, you know, I'm really afraid right now. I don't know if it's you. So could you like I'm going to fleece this. Like, okay, if you're actually in this, would you make this happen? So Peter is like, this must be a figment of my imagination. So Jesus, if it's really you, tell me to come up there. He's like, yeah, this guy's not going to, he's not coming. Yeah. And Jesus, here's the thing. When you pray prayers and you call Jesus out, he's going to call you out. So be careful what you pray. Actually, don't be careful what you pray. Pray boldly. Pray with fervor. Pray with like, Jesus, if it's you are truly who you are, then show up and show out. Pray with boldness, because if Jesus is actually who he says he is going to do it. He is faithful and true. So even in the storm, even in the winds, even in the moments of your life where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing right now. It feels uncomfortable. Jesus, would you show up? And Jesus, would you do this? Would you show me? And Jesus goes, yes, come. Man, you gotta listen. I'm sometimes like Peter. I pray dumb things. But if Jesus is there, I am here, and he invites us to take a step. Because the winds and waves are still going on, by the way. So if Jesus is inviting you to take a step in your life this morning or in this season of life, and he's saying, yes, come, I'm just going to tell you, the things that cause fear and worry and anxiety are going to still be swirling around you. The invitation is not void of that. The invitation is probably more into that and more into him. That he is inviting us out into something bigger and bolder and better. Yes, come. Will you answer? When Peter steps out of the boat, I have to believe his eyes are on Jesus. Like, full on, like, oh, you just said come? Yeah, I see you in the waves. I see you there, Jesus. So he steps boldly. Why? Because he had seen Jesus feed the 5,000. He had seen Jesus heal people. He had seen Jesus teach with authority. He had been empowered by Jesus prior to this, several chapters, with all the other disciples to go out to heal the sick and proclaim the good news. He had already stepped into the reality of the kingdom of God. So when Jesus invited him to step out, he had already seen him in action. He'd already actually been living into that. So he stepped boldly. I mean, think about this. How many of you in this room have seen Jesus move in ways or come and speak and meet to us in ways that beyond our words, our imagination, Jesus is who he says he is. Do we believe it? Peter steps out. eyes on Jesus. Clear. Clear. Winds and waves are still going on. Fear and anxiety, all the things that were happening that made them cry out, it's a ghost, still happening. Clear. Jesus. But as Peter's walking on the water, I'm assuming he's taking a couple steps at this point in time. The winds and waves are still happening. And the text says he gets his eyes off and he sees that. And he starts to falter. He starts to fall. He starts to sink. And listen, I'm 46. I'm old. Really old. Like ancient. I got a big head, clearly. That's what Josh said. I want to tell you that there won't be winds and waves all your life. There won't be things that might cause fear or anxiety. But I can't promise you that. But what I can promise you is this. Jesus is there. Do not be afraid. I'm here. Join me. Yes, come. So I wonder, what are the strong winds and waves for you? What are the things that, like, if you're being honest, that trip you up, that hold your heart, that grip it? When I left here, I left with clear eyes. Jesus was asking me to step out. Yes, come. Step with boldness. I knew I was doing the right thing. One, I was marrying Christy. She's pretty great, guys. She is baller. You should hang out with her after this. Like, there, she is an amazing, amazing woman, pastor, leader. And I couldn't be more blessed. So what I'm about to say has no dictation on her. But I stepped into a new season. I stepped into a role that was almost void of personal interaction. It was like Zoom meetings. You guys remember COVID with all the Zoom meetings? You know? My life was hanging out with people. And I remember with clarity when I left here, I was walking from the loose. And I remember walking to the student center, to WGM. And I just felt like the Lord, this is like spring of 24. He's like, take what you've been doing to the next place. I said, okay, Jesus, I will. It was that invitation, yes, come. So I left and I stepped into a new thing, and it was the right thing, and it was a good thing, and I'm still doing it. So if WGM, you're watching, I'm not trying to say it's bad, it's just, it's different. I had to learn something new. I was in a space where I was not interacting in the ways I thought I would be. I was in a new place. I missed you guys. You guys are kind of cool, if you didn't know that. Well, some of you. For those that are hanging out with Josh Bauer, thank you. Extra blessing upon you. So there's the roast and burn for Josh this morning. So, but I stepped into that, and I promise you that what was happening in that this past season is that my eyes started to shift. I started to look at more of the problems of the job that I had, and the lack of community. Not that it was bad, but there was a season of like things that I was allowing for myself to see the winds and waves in my life. And I remember Christy and I just debriefing, like, do I keep being faithful in this season? And the answer is yes. But maybe my eyes have been shifting. I remember going to church at Wellspring Anglican. First of all, I had no idea Anglicans were so cool. So to the Anglicans in the room, thank you. You do liturgy, but man, this place is spirit-filled. It's like Asbury just got transplanted in the middle of Inglewood, Colorado. And going to prayer meetings or going to worship services, the Lord just kept meeting me. And I remember There was one specific Sunday. Jesus, the pastor is preaching from 2 Chronicles 20. And this prayer that Jehoshaphat prays, he goes, at the end, he says, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you, God." And I'm in this season of like discernment, in this season of like, I don't necessarily know what I'm doing. It's new job, new role. I don't know what's happening. But I remember when he said the end of that prayer, it was like Jesus went, "Hey, wake up. Eyes on me. Clear. Clear." And that started to shift. And there were some things that Christy and I started putting into practice of fasting and praying and discernment and focusing on Jesus. Stop focusing on what's around us and what's happening, but Jesus clear. And it created opportunities in our community. Like, we got to love on people in our community that aren't believers. Like, we're now investing in interns at our church. And Jesus is bringing clarity and bringing things that fit the giftings and the capacity of my heart. But I was going to miss it because I was focusing all the other things around me that were sucking the wind and life out of my soul. So for me, if I'm being honest, the fear for me was being alone. Not enough, got a new job, fancy title, failure, and quite honestly, anonymity. And that's hard to say, anonymous. I'm just going to say that. Not being known. Because in some ways, you guys know me, right? Seniors, you're about to step out. There's probably things happening in your soul right now as you're thinking about it. And I can tell you this. I've done left Asbury twice now as 46, and I can just say this, that nothing shifts and changes. As long as there's transitions in your life, which there will be, there'll always be these moments for the unknown and the uncertain. Well, what's clear? Jesus. He's clear. I have one question. Where was Jesus' eyes? Where was he focusing in this moment? They were looking at Peter. Jesus sees him, he knows, and yet when Peter calls out, Jesus immediately reaches down and grabs him. I think this is important. Jesus sees you and knows you. He knows where you are. And time again, he will lift you up. And the last thing that I want to ask is this. When Jesus said, "Why did you doubt me?" I think that's a really important question. Because Jesus doesn't want just to save us and leave us where we are. He wants to ask questions that'll penetrate the depths of our heart. And I wonder in this room if we are avoiding the questions that Jesus might want to ask us. For me, I had to really own the fear of being anonymous, the fear of stepping into a place that I'm unknown, the fear of not having recognition or anything like that. And Jesus had to ask those questions of me. He said, "Would you give that to me?" So I wonder in this room, what are the questions that Jesus might be asking you? I think if we leave it at the surface level and not allow him to speak directly to our hearts, I think we're missing out on the bigger questions, the questions that want to bring fullness, joy, and abundance. Hebrews 12 says this, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." There's a song lyric that says this, "I will become what I'm beholding. I will abandon all I've known. There's nothing you're withholding from me, God. So as we end and move on from this space, what are the questions that Jesus might be asking you? Where are your eyes in the midst of fear and anxiety and trials? And would you let Jesus ask the deep, penetrating questions so that you won't keep living in this, that when Jesus asks you to step out, that you can take steps boldly? And guess what? If you fall, Jesus is going to pick you up immediately. But then he's going to ask the question, why did you doubt me? What is going on in the depths of your soul? So today, as we end, I'm going to pray for us, because I think we're at a place where we're going to close. And Vanessa will play a song for us, but I'm going to dismiss us. Is that okay? It's 10:47, right? No, don't dismiss us. Well, I'm being told not to. I'm used to WGM. I just do whatever I wanted. So, Jesus, we come before you and say, ask the questions. Penetrate our souls, our hearts. Would you be lifted up, King Jesus? Yeah, we thank you. We praise you that you don't leave us down. You lift us up, but you don't want to leave us there. So Lord, we learn what it means to walk in fullness and abundance and joy. We give you praise, King Jesus, in your name.